You're listening to 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of KUCI or the University of California at Irvine.
A raft of penguins on a frozen sea. Expectant faces look down on me. Shuffle and easy, the whistler plays. Counting 11, they begin to pray. Than we might think. Some half-remembered hoarse jungle drum, a naked heartbeat, trill and hum. No stage for the fainted heart. Each symphony a sum of parts. Each overture a sweet foreplay. Let's crash and burn some other day. Suspicion deep, tentative tiptoe or giant leap. Call down the angels to guide them in. A raft of penguins take to the wing. A raft of penguins on a frozen sea. Expectant faces look down on me. Shuffle and easy, the whistle plays. Counting 11, they begin to pray.
That's Brent. And I knew about that false ending. Anyway, that's brand new music from Ian Anderson with a tune called A Raft of Penguins from his just-released album entitled Rupees Dance, the title track of which is itself an animal song, among others on the CD. And Anderson has long laced his music and the music of Jethro Tull with animal songs and references, and this tendency just seems to have taken on a new focus surrounding Rupees Dance, including auctioning a special package that includes tickets to a show in New York, meeting Anderson, the show and receiving one of his flutes, which will all benefit Best Friends, a major animal organization. But more on that in a few minutes on this week's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, and typically streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. I want to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. And other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our terrific new website at talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks. Also, before I move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rousing rendition of The Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been a little over 3 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've already been extremely fortunate to have a string of terrific guests, including in recent weeks, actor-comedian Kevin Nealon, the former star of Saturday Night Live, who's a longtime champion of animals and animal rights, Kristen von Kreisler, an author whose latest book, Bee, The Story of the Beagle, Who Changed My Life, is a memoir of sorts about her experiences finding, adopting, and living with a beagle that previously had been an animal used in laboratory experiments. We're also joined by Deborah Newgard and Diane Carson from the Rat and Mouse Club of America. And we spoke with Catherine Doyle last Monday, which was Elephant Appreciation Day, by the way. Entirely fitting in that Catherine has been leading the legal battle to return Ruby, the elephant sort of unceremoniously removed from her home and elephant companion of 16 years at the L.A. Zoo, and taken to the Knoxville Zoo. So our string of great guests continue today when we speak with Pamela Kerp from Orange County People for Animals. We'll learn all about OCPA, its educational and outreach activities and upcoming events, as well as Pamela's own path to animal advocacy when we speak with her in a few minutes. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Announcements, observations, and of course, any stories you might have spotted, that would all be most welcome here at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So first, as always, I want to talk about Tiger Rescue. That's the facility out in Colton, California. It's been in the news off and on for several months now. The short version of the story, or as short as I can make it and still do it justice, is that it was a so-called sanctuary, and that could not be in more dramatic air quotes, as I'm furiously making air quotes, for retired tigers and other big cats that were in movies and film, ostensibly. Well, without getting into too much detail, let's just say that the facility itself greatly neglected, the animals greatly neglected, the proprietor is now up on a number of serious criminal charges. But meanwhile, many of those animals are still there. Some, fortunately, have been moved, but many are still there for a variety of reasons, primarily that even with some of the sanctuaries that have been, you know, actual, real, legitimate sanctuaries that have been contacted and have agreed to take some of the cats, many of them don't yet have the enclosures to enable them to do that. So there have been fundraisers lately and other things to try to get as many of those animals moved soon. But meanwhile, they're there and day to day need to be cared for, looked after, fed, etc. So there's this amazing man, Chuck Tracy, who has stepped in. He's been actually there for several months now, leaving his own facility, the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center down in Ramona by San Diego. He left that facility and his wife and all the animals and friends or whatever, and he's basically been looking after kind of the day-to-day operation of a tiger rescue. And otherwise, it's a battalion of volunteers who come in each day. They drive in from San Diego, Del Mar, Ventura, further Orange County, and feed and water and you know, clean the enclosures and just generally look after the cats and some of the other animals that are still there. So this is all by way of saying that I would really love to urge you, if you could find a day, more than a day, of course. Weekday is better than a weekend, just because they obviously have a tougher time getting volunteers on weekdays. But to go out there and help out looking after the tigers, it's a really amazing, cool experience. These tigers, you know, they're really starting to rally because it's been a few months now that they've been under better care. But they still need your help. So if you could do that, and if you can find some time, email me at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and I will hook you up with how to get involved with volunteering there. So it's very, very cool. Meanwhile, I referred earlier to this whole kind of Ian Anderson new music thing and an auction. So basically, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, you know, Ian Anderson and you know, all his music with Jethro Tull is laced throughout with animal songs, animal references, and again, even more so with this new solo album, Rupee's Dance, which is named after a kitten rescued in December a couple years ago. and was the sickly runt of a litter of five kittens. Ian Anderson, turns out, is, you know, not surprising, I guess, is very much an animal person, and is kind of an expert on taking care of kittens, and is going to be featured in a forthcoming issue of Cat Fancy, and profiled in other publications. Anyway, as he's making his little tour supporting Rupee's Dance, one of the things that that he's doing, which will raise money for Best Friends Animal Society, a major, cool animal sanctuary and organization based in Utah, is he is auctioning a pair of tickets, an autographed flute, and you also get to meet and hang with Ian Anderson. This is all for his New York City show at Town Hall on November 17th. So basically eBay is handling this. So if you went to eBay, you could find out more about it. You could bid on it. And that's really cool. So again, it's for Best Friends, and great cause, sort of great thing. If you're any kind of a Jethro Tull or Ian Anderson fan, kind of a cool bonanza. It's one of those, if I may invoke one of those delightful cliches, kind of a win-win, right? Okay. Now, not so much on win-win. Something I saw, I think, in yesterday's paper, disturbing initially, and also for a passing reference for those of us who live in California. Anyway, it's headline: New Jersey in two camps over resurgence in black bear population. And basically, in Hardyston, New Jersey, they have, for the first time in 33 years, the state is issuing hunting permits for black bears, just because the black bear population apparently has really kind of escalated recently. Bears are coming much closer to homes. But of course, even that has people who live there in some great concern. How do they feel about the bears? Just because there are people hunting near their homes, and of course, animal rights groups, needless to say, are quite up in arms about this. So it's a sort of a complicated thing. But sort of about several paragraphs into this, talks about the proponents of this measure, saying the supporters say at least 26 states, including neighbor New York and Pennsylvania, allow bear hunts, as does California. So, didn't know if you knew that. I had forgotten that, or I tried to forget it if I did not. So, anyways, your thoughts on that, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, you know. Yes, bears can be difficult and aggressive, but do we want to hunt them here, New Jersey, or anywhere else? Also, kind of a weird little tidbit. An insectivore that was sort of long thought extinct was discovered in Cuba recently. I'll just read this quick item. With its long snout and tiny body covered with spiky long brown hair, the worm-munching mammal known as Celandon cubanus long has been a mystery to zoologists who believed it to be extinct. But a farmer in eastern Cuba recently found the first live specimen of the enigmatic creature seen in 4 years. The animal, known locally as an almiqui, was called Alejandrito by the farmer who found it in the eastern province of Holguin. Veterinarians have declared the male amiqui to be in perfect health. And, at least in the item I saw, there's a cool little picture. I mean, it looks like sort of a miniature anteater, if I can say that, from the campus of UC Irvine, where the mascot, of course, is the anteater. So, on to other announcements of an animal nature. On October 15th at the El Capitan Theater in Los Angeles, there, going to be a major comedy benefit for the Buddy Hackett Sangeeta Animal Sanctuary. And among the comics lined up to perform are Jay Moore, Louis Anderson, Paul Rodriguez, Bobcat Goldthwait, Jeffrey Ross, Frank Caliendo, Dane Cook, and some of the comics that were part of Last Comic Standing. So that's again October 15th, going to be a major show raising funds for the Buddy Hackett Sangeeta Animal Sanctuary, which we're going to find out more about that. In fact, next week, we're going to have Sherry Hackett, Buddy's widow, on, talking about their plans and vision for Singita, which, among other things, is intended to be a sort of cage-free sanctuary, and of course, no kill, perhaps needless to say. So we are planning to have Sherry on next week on Talking Animals to talk about that. But in the meantime, you can go to Singita, singita.org, to find out more about the benefit and how to get tickets. And again, for a very, very cool cause. Also, in the world of bunnies, rabbits, there's an open house that's being put on by Bunny Love, which is a nonprofit no-kill rabbit welfare organization offering education, adoption services, and supplies for domestic rabbits and the humans who love them. And that's going to be October 19th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 16742 Stagg Street, number 104, Van Nuys, California, 91406. And the phone number to find out more about that is 818-988-4488. And that's October 19th, Bunny Love, with their new digs, Van Nuys, celebrating that with an open house. And I think lastly, for today's edition of the Animal News and Announcements, I want to remind you that we had a couple of folks, Deborah Newgard and Diane Carson, from the Rat and Mouse Club of America here a couple weeks back. And they are doing a sales and adoption day and general meeting on October 25th, and that's in Lake Forest. And there'll be sales and adoption opportunities, and check out all kinds of info. If you have a rat and it needs its nails clipped, Deborah Newgard's been kind enough to offer that service for a buck per rat, trimming those toenails. And there's actually a costume contest, which frankly I would love to see. If I'm around, I may even check that out. But you can dress your rat or mouse in your favorite costume and enter the contest between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And a digital picture will be taken for judging at 2 p.m. And only handmade costumes, though. All right, don't none of this Barbie clothing stuff, right? So you can find out more about that by calling 949-770-0323. 949-770-0323. So I think that's going to do it for this bit of animal news this week. And we are going to jump into step, how about that, into the Comedy Corner, Talking Animals Comedy Corner. Does that sound all right to you? Okay, good. So this, as always, is a piece of animal-oriented stand-up comedy, and it's from a gentleman named Jasper Carrot. A piece called Animals and Dogs on Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI.
There was a wonderful story in the press a short while ago about the Rottweiler that saved a woman from drowning. Now, Rottweilers, as you know, get a bit of a rough ride from the media. I mean, Saddam Hussein gets a better press than these guys. But here's this dog leaping into a very dangerous river to rescue a drowning woman. It's perfectly true. What struck me about the story is that what did the drowning woman think? How does she feel about it? I mean, she's coming up for the third and presumably the last time and thinking, well, things can't get any worse. Turns around and there's this Rottweiler. Made me laugh. Where would we be without animals, eh? And don't we give animals a hard time, don't you think? I remember as a kid opening up a tortoise with a tin opener. Well, I didn't know. Have you ever seen a tortoise without its shell? It's like Colin Moynihan in swimming trunks. And we're supposed to be a nation of animal lovers, but are we? I mean, you think about it. Like, you buy a puppy dog, and what's the first thing you do? You whip it down to the vets and have it de-knackered. He comes around and he's thinking, well, thanks very much. And you're my best friend. And what about zoos and safari parks? I mean, is that being humane? Well, maybe you can argue a case for the animals, but I don't know about human beings. I mean, oh, I love safari parks, me, eh? You spend 3 hours locked up in a Sierra trying to explain to the kids why monkeys have bright red bums. I haven't thought of one yet, but I will. Or you get packs of timber wolves coming up to you saying, here, here, give us your Garfield. Have you ever broken down in a safari park? It is a humiliating experience. I mean, the AA don't want to know for a start. So you sit there waiting for help to arrive, and while you do, the news goes round the park that there's a car stranded, and all the animals get to hear about it. So they all come over to have a bit of fun at your expense and get their own back. You know, the monkeys start nicking your hubcaps and using them as frisbees. The lions decide which one of us to have for lunch. The rhinoceros ambles over to see what all the fuss is about, you know, because his eyesight's not what it used to be, and he was short-sighted in the first place, you know. All the animals are egging him on. Go on, Rog, go on, give it a charge. It's not a Sierra, on it, it's not a Sierra, it's a Land Rover. It's a Land Rover, Rog, go on, give it, on it, it's a Land Rover, it's not a Sierra. Look, look, look who's in there. Hey, David Attenborough, go on, give it a shot. While all this is going on, the water buffalo have surrounded the car and decided to give the kids a special display by humping each other to death. I've stuck to zoos ever since. But there again, zoos are depressing. I mean, it's like strange ways for animals, isn't it? You have to feel sorry for them. I mean, the big apes. When you watch the big apes, they all just sit there with this incredibly bored expression on their face. It's like looking at the counter staff at the DHSS. What's even more boring is the reptile house. What a con that is. All those cases with the exotic names on them. And you can't see anything. Where's it? Bang, bang. Where's it? Where's it? You know, the Madagascan fruit lizard. And all you can see is a pile of rocks and an apple core. The Brazilian piranha snake with a voracious appetite. So voracious, it's eaten itself. But the animals I feel most sorry for are the pandas. Ah. Shy, sensitive creatures, yet always the centre of attention. And why? And why? Because everyone knows the male panda can't get it on with the female. The poor geezer, not only does the world know his impotence, but the rest of the zoo do as well. Every time he goes to bed, you know, the grizzlies are next door shouting, go on, Rambo, let a real thing in there! All the rabbits are shouting, easy, easy! With all that noise and his missus nagging him all night, no wonder he's got rings under his eyes. But zoos are having hard times lately. You know this when you see signs saying, for God's sake, feed the animals. Lots of zoos are closing down, and one of the main problems is what to do with animals that have been adopted by the public. You see, what happened years ago was that the public were encouraged to adopt zoo animals to help defray the cost. Everyone got very excited about it and was very successful. For instance, there were lots of corporate adoptions, you know, estate agents caring for vultures and solicitors adopting cheetahs, that sort of thing. Oh, solicitors, you can get them after the show. But now, because of these problems, zoos are having to send these animals back to their adoptive owners. So all over the country, people are finding the postman coming up the path, carrying aardvarks, a hippo on a lead. One family, who in 1978 adopted a baby gorilla, had the shock of their lives when he turns up 12 years later in a taxi. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, they've got a note from the zoo informing you you've got to look after Gary the gorilla for the rest of his natural life. What are you going to do about it? 3,500 weight, a prodigal primate, and he's friendly. Very friendly. You come home from work and there he is wagging the kids. Giving you little presents he's picked from the garden, like the shed. Then you have to join in the search for next door neighbour's cat, because if you didn't, it would look a bit suspicious. But you know in your heart of hearts that furry thing Gary's wiping his nose with is the next door neighbour's cat. You try to lose him in the park by chaining him to a lamppost. But he comes home with the lamppost. And now he thinks you like lampposts. There is in darkness. And the neighbourhood watch is starting to get suspicious because someone's lobbing Reliant Robins through the second floor window. But as with all delinquents, he's yours. And you love him. And he returns your affection in the only way he knows how. Grooming. It means every morning you wake up to find yourself being minutely examined by a 23-stone knit nurse. Anyway, your love wins through, and finally, he becomes sociable. He's a wow at fancy dress parties. Oh, wins first prize every time. He scored at one. The Gorillagram had the shock of his life.
Okay, you're listening to Talking Animals on KCI 88.9 FM. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was Jasper Carrot with his piece, Animals and Dogs. Got to reverse. Animals and Dogs. And Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals. Perhaps we're not overreaching here. A signature feature of Talking Animals. If you have a suggestion of animal-oriented piece of comedy, think we should... highlight on Talking Animals Comedy Corner, please email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And, of course, as many of you know, we normally stream live on the internet at www.kuca.org. And beyond that, it's a pretty neat website with a schedule of all the programming, CD reviews, list of upcoming bands playing live on the station, and special guests and other stuff, including an essay that we actually wrote about circus animals. So that's kuci.org. And, again, while we're talking about nifty websites, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention our new website. It's talkinganimals.net. So, again, we can be reached here in the meantime, 949-824-5824. And I need to also remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. And earlier in the show, I mentioned a bit about this week's guest, Pamela Kirp. Was on the board of directors of Orange County People for Animals, OCPA for short, we like to call it. And we'll talk to us a bit about the organization, its history, its efforts in terms of education and outreach and campaigns, and also about her own evolution into working for animal causes and welfare. So in a conversation recorded Saturday afternoon, here's Pamela Kirp on Talking Animals. Okay, let's welcome to Talking Animals, Pamela Kirp from Orange County People for Animals. Hi, Pamela.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us. And, of course, you know, primarily want to speak about OCPA, mm-hmm. as we call it for short. But, you know, I think it's often interesting and sort of important to hear how someone's sort of personal story and experience often leads to activism and involvement in an organization like OCPA. So we'll get into all, you know, elements of their history and what they do, but it might be kind of cool way into that to, if you wouldn't mind just kind of walking us through your own path that that led you to doing your work with OCPA and sort of on behalf of the animals.
Okay, sure. I'm actually relatively new to the whole animal rights movement. It was just over a year ago I was looking for volunteer opportunities. I had some time on my hands and wanted to give a little bit more of that to a good cause. And so I, you know, did a little bit of research on the internet, and I've always loved animals, always had pets growing up, and thought I'd start there, you know, maybe volunteer at a local shelter or something. But what I found on the internet really opened my eyes to a lot of the issues and realities occurring in society regarding animals. So I stumbled across, you know, PETA and IDA and Last Chance for Animals and various other sites out there and just started reading. And I ordered a veggie starter kit and, you know, read and read, went through a couple boxes of tissues, and it just clicked.
Yeah.
I just suddenly decided that, you know, I looked at my dog, and I just made that connection. So
and
we're really no turning back at that point.
And were you sort of, you know, just by virtue of kind of setting off on that path, were you sort of already kind of interested in that direction, sort of predisposed even, Pamela, or was it sort of you were open to any number of possible directions you might go when you were, as you say, you're looking for sort of volunteer opportunities, had some time, but was this kind of a specific interest even prior to that, that you kind of sought this out in particular, or did you just kind of wander on to that path?
Well, I think I had given the thought, you know, given vegetarianism and that whole concept some thought off mm-hmm. and on over the years.
Yeah.
And often told myself, you know, if I allow myself to think about this too much, I knew it was inevitable that I would run down that path.
Yeah,
eventually.
I see. So it just sort of felt like at that point it was sort of time.
It was time.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
ready. I was ready to hear about it and face the truth about it. So.
Sure. And then having sort of done so and sort of then sounds like you started kind of really, you know, studying up and learning more and educating yourself, kind of what was the path from there, just at least generally speaking?
Well, I read, you know, some of the well-known books on the subject,
mm-hmm.
Peter Singer's Animal Liberation,
sure.
and John Robbins' The Food Revolution, and, you know, again, just various sites. And so it was actually a very simple decision.
Yeah.
It didn't even seem like a decision at the time. You know, like so many people, you don't really want to think about where your food is coming from or
mm-hmm.
really think too much about what goes on behind the scenes.
Sure. And it's a classic ignorance is bliss kind of a
sure,
thing. Yeah.
Sure. And you know, you think, well, okay, once I find this out, I'm going to have to make a big decision and some major drastic changes, and that's what you think it will be at the time, but in
mm-hmm.
actuality it was very simple. I just I started going through my cupboards and my fridge and freezer, and you know, the next time I went grocery shopping, I just bought all vegetarian products, no meat
mm-hmm.
at all. And at the same time, I continued to read, and then I decided, well, I really got to do this all the way and go vegan.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So about 2 weeks later, after being, you know, vegetarian for 2 weeks, I went vegan and went through
wow.
my covers and you know, refrigerator once again and cleaned everything out.
Man, so I think compared to at least a lot of people, you kind of really traverse that continuum pretty pretty rapidly. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, even just hitting, you know, from sort of studying and looking at stuff online to mm-hmm. to go to sort of vegetarianism, but then it sounds like a gigantic rapid leap from there to going vegan, really.
Well, sure. You know,
yeah.
originally I thought, oh, I can. The cows are treated well in the dairy industry, and you know that nothing is. The chickens aren't harmed in the egg industry, and
mm-hmm.
so I thought, well, I can justify going vegetarian very easily. But then once I discovered the truth about, you know, what's happening to those animals,
yeah,
I decided, well, I no longer want to support those industries that are profiting from that animal abuse and that animal cruelty.
Wow. And so having kind of jumped in really feet first, obviously, in those ways, I mean, how would you say, just for some of our listeners who either might be considering that path or might be on on a different part of that continuum from where you've kind of scooted, you know, how has that been and what's the adjustment been like?
Well, first of all, I realize that I'm, you know, probably the exception to the rule that most people take a lot longer, take
mm-hmm.
more, you know, some people spend years transitioning even from vegetarian to vegan.
Sure, absolutely.
So I personally believe any step away from animal products is a step in the right direction, not only for the animal's sake, but of course, you know, for personal health
mm-hmm.
and the environment.
Yeah.
And you really begin to see how interconnected it all really is once you read.
Sure.
And discover more about that. But you know, I really think that, again, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And
yeah.
And I think that's a reason that, or an excuse a lot of people give is, it's just, I can never do that. I can
right.
give that up. But I found that there are so many products out there now that it's much easier now than it was, say, 5 years ago.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And what would you say, the kind of the hardest thing to give up as you kind of, especially maybe as you made the leap from vegetarianism to vegan? I mean, was there a certain thing like, okay, I know this is the right thing, but it's so hard to give up such and such?
Well, the things that I thought would be difficult really haven't been. And those are eggs and dairy, you know, cheese.
Yeah.
But there are some excellent vegetarian cheese options out there and dairy options, you know, soy milk options, soy products. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness they do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just know that, for example, when I interviewed Kevin Nealon on the show a while back, he said, you know, kind of the last thing for him, the last thing to go was salmon, you know, and just like, you know, it was like hard and, you know, and then he was fine. He didn't really miss it. But I mean, you know, just usually there's sort of one thing or one or two things that as people kind of, you know, make this journey where it's like, okay, I know I'm going to give it up, but it's hard and whatever it is. But I didn't know if there was something like that in particular for you or.
Well, as far as the meat, poultry, fish area, I would say seafood.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the most difficult to give up. But again, I really haven't missed it. You know, once you think of the end product as a living being, then it's
all part of a piece.
Me.
Yeah. So, okay, so with that in mind then and all as again everything is kind of interconnected as you mentioned. So this kind of then also put you on the path to getting involved with, you know, more involved at least with animals, animal rights, and specifically, I guess, in your case, with Orange County People for Animals.
Yes.
And so maybe this is as good a time as any to just sort of get into at least a brief history of OCPA. As you said earlier, I know you're not a long-time member, but at least just, you know, kind of in broad strokes, sort of when the organization began and kind of maybe what its purpose was then and maybe how it's evolved from there.
Okay, sure. Orange County People for Animals was founded in 1988 by a lady, wonderful lady, by the name of Ava Park. And so she founded that nonprofit organization, and it has grown into a pretty well-established group in this area. I think in the last couple of years, she's kind of pursued some other interests, not ever straying away from animal rights by any means, but she is still on the board of directors, but some other people have gotten more involved, and including myself, and I became a director a couple of months after I joined. I was invited to become one of the, you know, to join the board of directors.
Great.
So it's a group that really focuses on all animal rights issues, and that's including, you know, factory farming, vivisection, which is experimentation on animals, animals used in entertainment, animals hunted or raised for sport or fashion, companion animals, wildlife, marine animals, you name it.
Sure.
And so what they really focus on, though, is humane education and community outreach.
And what sort of forms does that take, typically, Pamela?
I would say a lot of tabling and leafletting, a real soft approach, not an in-your-face yelling, you know, angry
chanting
approach.
Yeah, right.
And that's especially easy for me because I can say, hey, just a year and a half ago, I was right there too. You know?
Right, right.
It's just people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And so that makes it easy to just connect with people on one-on-one level and, you know, hand them the information, let them take their time to consider it, and go from there.
And are there places that you regularly table or otherwise do this outreach in Orange County that people might not know about and therefore could get some information quite readily?
Well, we were tabling at the farmers market in Irvine for several weekends through the summer. A couple weekends up in Long Beach, and we're considering Huntington Beach by the pier now.
I see.
Now that summer is over, we're kind of looking for a new home.
Yeah, yeah.
But certainly any of the standard festivals going on. In fact, we have a table tomorrow up at World Fest in L.A.
Okay, and as part of the humane education, are there also efforts, at least occasionally, to go speak to certain groups or schools beyond just the sort of tabling you've described?
Well, yes, and we get involved in going into schools and teaching about, you know, compassion toward all living things, human beings and animals, and certainly are pursuing, you know, getting more involved in that area.
Mm-hmm.
We leaflet at schools for the annual meet out that occurred in March, we were at several schools, you know, handing out free vegan lunches and talking to the students there and really trying to get people involved.
And how do people in those kind of circumstances, do you find, respond, like, to either the information or if you're handing out a free, no such thing as a free lunch, but in this case there was a free vegan lunch. Mm-hmm. I mean, do people say, wow, this is cool, or this is good information, or hey, I actually am enjoying this this meal, or what kind of responses do you find, or is it quite an array?
Well, there is an array, but I would say for the most part it's a very positive response. Mm-hmm. People are open to it. It certainly... by now, most people are aware of it. They've heard, they know a person or two at least who's vegan, and so they seem fairly receptive to it. Of course, there's always that occasional individual who really doesn't want the literature or, mm-hmm. or doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah, it sort of, like, it sounds like moreover kind of resents the presence of that information sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's what I run after them and track them down. No.
Yeah, right, exactly. Sure.
Stalk them and
yeah, right. Never let up. Yeah. But is there kind of a cuz it sounds like you guys, you know, are obviously interested and involved in really quite a range of things that fall under the umbrella of, you know, animal causes, animal rights.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a focus or is there a focus that shifts maybe with other things that are going on, you know, sort of in the animal rights world? Like, is there, you know, a certain kind of event that might trigger an emphasis on one of those areas? Like, I know you mentioned, animals in entertainment, for example. Is that, I mean, do different board members, for example, have their own sort of so-called pet interests even, and that they then would pursue, you know, sort of education or campaigns in some of those areas that you've mentioned that OCPA is involved with overall? Or how do you sort of divvy it up, or how do you kind of give a focus to it?
Well, I think the number one focus is animals used for food.
Okay.
And then depending on, you know, the certain events occurring at the time of the year, for instance, summer months are heavy for circuses and mm-hmm. rodeos, and so some of us, yes, we do go out there and, you know, try to talk to people, try to hand out some literature, just again try to promote that awareness.
Yeah.
And you know, give people food for thought, let them think about how their actions, how their choices affect,
sure,
you know, these institutions continuing for so many years despite, you know, what we know about them now, or what most people are beginning to find out about them now.
Sure.
So we're really all over the board, and it is a very flexible group. There are some members who, you know, have their pet peeves or favorite issues
mm-hmm.
that they like to focus more of their time on, and that's fine. But I think generally speaking, we tend to emphasize, try to focus on the animal food connection.
Sure. And are there still? I know at one time that OCPA kind of had this kind of once a month Q&A meeting to sort of also further help, you know, answer questions if people were kind of interested but just didn't know enough and were looking for an additional way to educate themselves. Is that still offered?
Are you talking about the quarterly information exchanges?
Maybe. I thought at one point it was monthly. Maybe it is now quarterly. But
you know, it's a good question. It may have been monthly a few years ago, but now it's quarterly. And
okay.
We just had one a couple weekends ago, and it's just an opportunity for members and non-members to meet one another. We always have a nice vegan meal, and it's a very casual
mm-hmm.
social environment, and we usually have music or some form of entertainment, and it's a great way to get to know people in the group a little bit better and kind of put our heads together and come up with our next plan of attack.
Sure, sure.
So.
Well, and we'll mention this a few other times also, but while we're at it, we should mention that the website for OCPA is actually www.ocpausa.org, because I think for some people they might have known about a different website address, but that's the one people want to go to now to get all the info. And And are there some forthcoming events? I mean, one thing I wanted to ask you about, which I know is coming up in early November, which I think is quite interesting, is this grief release for animal rights advocate workshop. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, actually that is spearheaded by Ava Park. She's holding that in Irvine. We will have more information on that posted on the site. But basically it's just talking about, you know, anger and emotions and grief that animal advocates usually suppress or bury as they continue, in, you know, with their efforts to help out the animals.
Mm.
And so she just kind of talks about some of those issues and discusses some techniques to help people through that. And I personally haven't been to it yet, but I plan on going, and I've heard great things about it. So
yeah, but and it also looks like it's I guess kind of targeted towards people who are animal rights advocates and just some of the struggles that they face.
Sure.
But at least looking at a really nice flyer I have on this, that there's certainly some broader issues that are dealt with, just generally loss and how to deal with sort of grief and anger that deals with that, and specifically of course coping with companion animal loss, but a lot of those things are much more universal than that as well. So
well, sure, there's some tools that you can learn to deal with the other issues of other areas of your life too. So
that's on Saturday, November 1st in Irvine, California. And again, if not now, shortly, it sounds like that information will be posted on the OCPA website. So, and any other specific event kind of, around the corner or on the horizon, Pamela, that that we should know about, or just specific, cause within the overall causes that you guys kind of, devote your attention to that we should talk about specifically in the near future?
Well, on Saturday, October 4th, we are meeting at the Block at Orange to celebrate the World Farm Animals Day.
Yeah.
It's actually on the 2nd, which I think is Gandhi's birthday. But it's Farm, the organization called Farm promotes this, and they just ask people and groups to get involved and plan some sort of an event around that date. So we are meeting at 11 o'clock at the Block of Orange on Saturday, October 4th.
Okay.
So we'd love to have anyone who's interested come out and join us. We're going to leaflet and just talk to people and hopefully reach some people that way.
Sure. And just otherwise, generally, if people were looking to sort of get involved with OCPA, would you recommend that they go to the website? Is there another method where they could kind of just get some basic information and kind of pursue membership if that's what they're inclined to do? Or
well, they can accomplish all of that through the website.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, if they want to send an email, they can send one to information@ocpausa.org. If they'd like more details on some of the volunteer opportunities we have available and some of the upcoming events, we'd be happy to return their email and give them more information that way too. So, and can I give you a phone number?
Yes, by all means.
And for anyone not on the email or the internet, we also have a phone number. It's area code 714.
Okay.
751.
All right.
OCPA or 6272.
6272. Great. All right, Pamela. Well, this sounds really, really good. I appreciate you joining us today. And again, we want to encourage people to check out the website. It's www.ocpausa.org. And again, you can call for more information in addition to the website or in lieu of that at 714-751-OCPA or 6272. And Pamela Kirp from OCPA, thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was, again, obviously Pamela Kirp joining us today from Orange County People for Animals. And while the abbreviation is OCPA, I just want to emphasize again that the website is actually www.ocpausa. All right, gets a little tricky, .org. So it's ocpausa.org. So I want to thank Pamela again, and I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI in Irvine, 88.9 FM. And it's now time to proceed to something else that's fun. It's Name That Animal Tune. And again, this is remarkably like any version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related, usually just by virtue of one or more animals being part of the song title, but occasionally it's a bit more indirect than that. And either way, like any version of this game, we can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question for a number of reasons, not least that while the game hinges on a song being somewhat recognizable, we also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So with that preamble dispensed with, but also noting there's always a prize, that's right, a prize for the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist. As soon as you recognize this tune, this animal tune and artist, please give us a call, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. All right, so let's get started. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals on KUCI. KUCI.
Hey, it's Rockin' Robin.
Hey, cool. Who's this?
This is Jim.
Jim?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm on radio.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, you're on the air right now. Absolutely. We always try to put the people who guess on Name an Animal Tune. So, and you know who the artist is?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
All right. Well, you know, you basically got the song. That's the way the game's played. So, it actually goes back quite a ways because it's Michael Jackson.
I thought I was going to say Jackson 5.
Yeah. So, all right, now, cool. Now, here, let me give you some choices. Let me reach back from my little bag of prizes, because as promised, there is a prize for the winner of Name That Animal Tune. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
Okay, now, Jim, what kind of, do you have an animal that lives with you, or?
I do.
What kind?
A cat.
Cool. All right, well, I'll come up with a few choices there, but one thing that, a couple weeks ago, we had this author, Kristen von Kreisler, on, who wrote a sort of memoir of sorts called For Bee, The Story of the Beagle Who Changed My Life, and it's a pretty cool book. So I actually have a copy of that book. That's one possible prize. I've got this cool sort of cone bird feeder, which as long as it's out of reach of your cat is probably a cool thing. I also have this really neat pet hair light pickup. It's like a lint roller for clothes and furniture, so depending on how, if your cat has long hair or not, that's usually sometimes quite helpful. I've also got a copy of, a couple months back actually now, in Talking Animals, we interviewed a guy named Kirk Olson, who's a really cool singer-songwriter, who did a whole CD of dog songs. And so I have a copy of that CD, in fact, called Dog Songs. As you can probably hear, I have some cat toys, which may be, ideal for your little feline friend. And I'm trying to think. Anything grab you so far, Jim? And let's see what else. We got here. Well, I think that might be it.
I like the idea of the cone feeder or the cat toys.
Okay, cool.
We have quite a few birds around, so it'd be nice to give them a meal now and then.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll tell you what. If you wouldn't mind, Jim, emailing at talkinganimals@aol.com, and just give me contact info or where I could send you this, then I will get this in your hands, or depending on where you are. Drop it off, mail it, whatever. But
sure.
It's pretty cool, and that'll be neat there for the birds. And as long as it's out of cat's reach, cat harm's way, then that'll be cool too.
Absolutely. So, talkinganimals@aol.com.
That's right. Yeah, and just give me your info, and then we'll get you this the bird feeder.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, and congratulations on winning Name That Animal Tune.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks. You too. Bye. Okay. So. Jim there winning on Name That Animal Tune. That's cool. And anyway, I think basically, though, we are... just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. And I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the UC Board of Regents. I also want to thank our guest, Pamela Kerr, from Orange County, People for Animals. And I want to thank you all for listening. And hope you'll join me again on Talking Animals next week when our scheduled guest is Sherry Hackett, the widow of comedian Buddy Hackett, discussing their vision and plans for a distinctive new animal sanctuary in Los Angeles called Singita. And so you'll join us for that next Monday at 9 a.m. Other great public affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m., we offer Counterspin, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio, Matt Kaplan, and that's just Monday. And there's great public affairs programming like that virtually each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning, then again, usually from 5 to 6 in the afternoon, sometimes even more than that. So I want to urge you to check out our nifty new website, talkinganimals.net. Also, please email me with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@aol.com. And I really look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. As always, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune on some level or another. And this is going to be from the legendary and enormously influential band Television, who will be performing, by the way, tomorrow night at the Henry Fonda Theater in Hollywood. This is Foxhole. This is also 88.5